called Confident in a Mission to Clarify My Why. It's easy to know what to do and how to do it if you've clearly defined your why. Your why lives inside of you and it bubbles up as passion that fuels your calling. What's your why? How can you develop a mission statement that will bring clarity and confidence to your calling? Hi, I'm Lisa Allen. By the end of today's coaching podcast, the goal is to give you enough tools to begin to define your why, to start clarifying your mission, and to state your intentions. Don't you love those words, state your intentions? By definition, an intention is the act of determining mentally upon some action or result. It's starting with the end in mind, on purpose. We will consider ways to turn this intention into a statement or paragraph that you can use as a filter for direction, decision, and determination. In his book, Start With Why, Simon Sinek says very few people or companies can clearly articulate why they do what they do. By why, I mean your purpose, belief, or cause. Why does your company exist? Why do you get out of bed every morning? And why should you care? Now, let's start with a little vocabulary lesson. There are a lot of different labels we can put on the statement that we're looking to craft together. It could be your why, your mission statement, your vision, your dream, even your elevator pitch. But for this exercise, I want to propose we call it our calling statement. As Christians, we want our mission to be what God has placed before us. We don't want to chase dreams that are self-manufactured, but invest our lives in what God's asking of us. It's not much of a stretch to know that pastors are called in full-time ministry, but God is calling us to use our gifts and talents to build his kingdom either directly in ministry or in the boardroom, the playroom, and even the living room. What is it that he is calling you to do? Number one, before the calling, we have to focus on the caller. Oz Guinness in his book, The Call, says, "We're not primarily called to something or go somewhere. We are called to someone. We're not called first to a special work, but to God." The key to answering the call is to be devoted to no one and to nothing above God himself. So to pursue a calling statement, we must first pursue our caller. The word call comes from the Latin word vox or voca, and it's where we get our English word voice. It means to call. Even our word vocation comes from that root. A vocation is an occupation or something that a person is drawn to or specifically suited, trained, or qualified for. So remember, though, a calling requires a caller. Looking at Luke 5:15, we have a glimpse at Jesus' calling. It says, "The report of his power spread even faster, and vast crowds came to hear him preach and to be healed of their diseases." So in Luke 5:15, we see Jesus preaching and healing people, and that was certainly a part of his calling. But let's look at Luke 5:16. "But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed." Our calling and our calling statement we want to write begin and end with God, and we have to withdraw just like our Savior did, just like Jesus did, in order to spend time with the calling. Now, before I give you your first coaching cue, you're going to want to grab your journal because today's coaching podcast requires a lot of note-taking. So grab your journal and pen, and here's your first coaching cue. While you probably know your passion, your dreams, and your desire to, say, write or speak or lead, maybe it's building wells in Africa, or it's certainly focused on highlighting some need in the world, when is the last time you sat before God, the caller, in order to seek his blessing, affirmation, or even challenge the work you're pursuing? Take some time to spend with your caller. So number one is the caller, but number two is my calling. You see, I have been uniquely designed to leave a mark that only I, Lisa Allen, can leave on his world. Now, that doesn't mean God needs me, but if I pursue my calling, then I have a unique touch on God's world because he is fueling and empowering me. My calling statement that I wrote many years ago, almost 20 years ago now, is to encourage, inspire, empower, and equip women to be the unique individuals God created them to be and leave his mark on their world. We're going to keep going back to this calling statement and unpack how it can be a template for you as you create yours. But before we do, let's consider what a calling is and what a calling isn't. What a calling is first. A calling is something that fuels you. It gives you passion. It's something that bubbles under your surface when you read about some certain things or you see certain things happening in the world. It's also something, it is something you've been wired for. Your personality and your spiritual gifts support it. So we're not negating our calling by saying, I don't have what it takes. God wouldn't give us a calling that He hasn't already prepared us for. A calling is something that's energy giving or fueling. It isn't always easy, but it seems to actually give you fuel. After you do your calling for 2 or 4 hours, somehow you're more energized than you were before you did it at all. And then I joke that it's what you do when you're tired. It pulls you off the couch. In other words, some things we can do after we're scrubbed up really well and after we've slept really well, and we can still manage to do a really good job. But your calling is something that you can do even when you're tired. It just kind of flows right out of you. And I like to joke at work that it's what you do when you win the lottery. It's not something that your calling isn't something you necessarily do just for a paycheck, for instance. If I won the lottery, I would still do my calling. I would still come to work every day. I always joke, I would still come to work. I would just do it with Louis Vuitton luggage. You see, it's not necessarily tied to a paycheck. It's just simply something that you must do. And it is complementary to your role. Now, let me unpack this because this can be really confusing and trip us up if we're not careful. We're called, our calling lives outside of the roles that we play. So it isn't being a parent, but it complements our season of parenting. And let me tell you why. If our calling was tied to parenting or being married or even caring for aging parents, then your calling would need to stop once one of those roles stopped or changed. So, for instance, when your kids were raised or an unexpected divorce or death of a parent or a spouse, if our calling is tied to one of those roles, then when the roles stop, the calling stops. No, your calling lives outside of and beyond those roles, but it always complements those roles. So it's something you can do or are being equipped to do while you're raising your kids or caring for aging parents, or maybe you're still working in corporate America, but you sense your calling is outside of that. God is building it while we're doing the different roles that He's placed around us. So now a calling isn't, what a calling isn't, it isn't something you dread. If you dread it, it's not a calling. It isn't something you can manage easily without Jesus. In other words, if we can do it in our own strength, then it's probably not a big enough calling, at least. And it's something you can't rush. Some of us want to rush through our current role, maybe working at the bank or raising tiny babies, because we want to jump right into our calling. But God may be building your calling while you're rocking those babies to sleep. Now, let's look back again at my calling statement as an example for how you can begin writing yours. My calling statement is to encourage, inspire, empower, and equip women to be the unique individuals God created them to be and leave His mark on their world. So, number one was our caller. Number two was our calling. Now, number three, let's start writing your calling statement. The first thing that you're going to need to write your calling statement is a series of action words. My words are encourage, inspire, empower, and equip. So next, you need a people group that your action words will impact. Or I could go further in mine. Mine says women, but I could go further and say ministry leaders or leaders. But from mine calling statement, my people group is women. And then lastly, you need a why or so that part of your calling statement. Mine is so that they leave His mark on their world. So they leave God's mark on their world. Part of my calling is actually to help others define their calling. Okay, so let's put this equation together. So number one, action words plus your people group plus your so that equals a calling statement. One of the things that you need to know about me as you read my calling statement is that I'm a life coach. But long before I was certified as a life coach or even knew what one was, I was aware I had a coaching leadership style that was easy for me and fueled me in ministry work. Do you see how the action words I selected would support what a coach does on a regular basis? What about you? This is where the real work comes in when you write a calling statement. Now, my calling statement has evolved initially over almost an entire first year that I wrote it. I kept trying it on for size and adding a word, shifting words, or eliminating words based on my experiences. So don't feel like this is something you're going to do in one evening and then it stays the same, but you have to start somewhere. So here's your coaching cue. Download the calling statement worksheet that's posted alongside this podcast. On it, you will find a word bank of action words. Circle any words that stand out to you as you begin to write your calling statement. These are your action words, so don't be afraid to use your own. You can Google synonyms or get the exact word that brings out that passion in you. You'll know it when you hit it. Okay, another coaching cue for you. Who are the tribes, people groups, or individuals that you're called to? Again, for me, it's women or ministry leaders or leaders. Now, use the people group section at the bottom of your download to trigger ideas. And again, feel free to write your own. Search the internet to begin to get more specific. As writers, who is your audience? That's a clue maybe to your calling statement. As you go through this writing exercise, I also want you to consider some clues to your calling from your past. I'll call them calling clues. Those are those words that were spoken prophetically over you, either within your family or someone outside of your family, perhaps a neighbor, a teacher, a coach. They said things like this: you're going to be a great leader someday. Or you should write, you really have a gift. This was actually said to one of my friends after she wrote an elegant thank you note. The recipient of the note spoke life into her writing calling as she read the note. Now my friend is a successful writer. That's a calling clue from her past. Who has stated, I see something in you? Who's affirmed your calling? You know, people, what do people consistently say you're good at? Praying or interceding for other people. Organizing, maybe pioneering or an entrepreneur. For me, an executive coach in our city took me to lunch and listened to my dream to start coaching. She said something that really impacted me. She said, "You already are a coach, you just don't have the training yet." She really spoke life into me, and that was a calling clue in my life. Another clue to your calling is what you did as a child. Did you play school, office? Did you draw? Did you dance? Did you paint? Were you creative? Our daughter was always arranging her books in patterns, even looking at ceiling tiles and trying to figure out the patterns in her head. That's a clue to her calling because today her calling and profession is math and risk management. Another friend tells of a girl who used to be so bossy and difficult as a child, and now she holds a high rank in the Navy, and she leads hundreds of men and women. Ephesians 2:10 says, "We're God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which He has prepared in advance for us to do." Your calling is something that He has prepared in advance, those good works that will impact His world. And when you're called and you know that calling, it pulls you off the couch when you're tired. It keeps you engaged and it gives you an eternal perspective. Bill Hybels calls it your holy discontent. He likens it to that that old cartoon character Popeye, that moment when you're watching something happen around you and you instinctively know that you're called to it and you say something like, "That's all I can stand and I can't stand no more," that Popeye quote, and you get off the couch or you get out of the boardroom or out of your comfort zone to pursue your dream, to pursue your calling. Hebrews 12:1 says, "Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith." Don't you love that our race is part of our calling? And this verse is a reminder to fix our eyes on the collar, on Jesus. Queen Esther said that she was put in a position of queen for such a time as this. That's a calling. 1 Corinthians 9:24, don't you realize that in a race, everyone runs, but only one person gets the prize. So run to win. Stating and knowing your calling statement will help you run to win. I would love to see, as we close this podcast, I'd love to see you pop over to the Compel Forum to share your action words, your people groups, or even your entire calling statement. I think we can encourage each other as we share them. Thanks for joining me today on the Compel Coaching Podcast, and I look forward to seeing you again next time.